Okay, I'm going to call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 1:39 p.m. on Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. And present today, we've got Representative Allard, Representative Stapp, Co-Chair Shiragi, myself, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski, and Representative Hannon. And just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. We do have two items on the agenda today, and that is House Bill 280. It's the first bill. It's the multi-state tax compact bill. We have three amendments for the bill. And then after that, we will take up House Bill 21. That's the voter pre-registration of minors, and that's by Representative Story. No amendments were submitted for the bill, and so if it's the will of the committee, we'll move the bill from committee. I also want to note that we have with us Representative Jimmy, and so we also have Representative Bynum, and let's see, so starting with House Bill 280, that again is the multi-states tax compact bill. We've heard the bill six times. We've taken invited and public testimony. We've reviewed the fiscal notes. Three amendments were submitted for the bill, and so I'd like to ask Mr. Brody Anderson to please come to the table, put yourself on the record, and if you could just give us a very brief recap of the bill, and then we'll jump right into the to the amendments. Mr. Anderson?
Thank you for the record. Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Foster. Today before the committee is House Bill 280. The current version in front of you is version I. That will be the CS version that will be amended. In its current form, this bill takes the recommendations of the multi-state compact and creates changes Alaska State's corporate tax structure to include what they would include is market-based sourcing. Instead of cost performance, it goes to a market-based sourcing, which is the sales of tangible property, intangible property and services that are purchased by Alaskan consumers and that are used and delivered in the state. That is the definition of what is market-based sourcing. And then also the bill has changed to include an effective date that would allow DOR to set up the regulations before the tax actually is enacted. Mr. Chairman, that's the that is a very brief recap of the current bill.
Okay, and so with that, just to kind of get our minds working in the same direction, thank you for that. And so I'm going to jump right into the amendments, and we have amendment number one that is from Representative Shiragi.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I move amendment number one.
Okay, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. Representative Shiragi.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. So as previously mentioned, we've heard this bill many times and talked about it quite a bit. In my view, the purpose of this bill is really to capture sales from highly digital businesses that are not currently captured under our outdated corporate income tax structure. As we've moved through this process, I think there's been a recognition that while this bill does allow us to start capturing that business activity and therefore the corporate income tax that would be due on that activity from businesses that have little to no footprint in the state of Alaska, this bill is currently drafted also negatively impacts some businesses and industries that are currently doing business in Alaska that are currently subject to the corporate income tax that we have on the books, despite it being outdated. So what this amendment does is try to make sure that we don't negatively impact some of those businesses that are already doing business here and subject to our corporate income tax. Again, the challenge right now is that this bill removes some of their core activities like interest and investment income from the sales factor, and that can have is likely to have a very negative impact on the industry. So what this amendment does is it fixes that by mandating the Department of Revenue through regulation incorporate some of the language that's been adopted by more than 20 other states to make sure that we take a nuanced approach to their business activity and don't see them swept up in the broader changes made through this bill. So I think this is a good amendment that allows us to still capture some incremental revenue and businesses that are frankly taking advantage of a loophole as a result of our outdated corporate income tax structure without negatively impacting businesses that are currently doing business here and subject to our corporate income tax. I'll just add that we heard from Department of Revenue during their testimony that they believe that this is an approach that would work and that they could do this through regulation. And so I put it before this committee for consideration.
Okay, I would like to also recognize that we have with us Representative Co-Chair Josephson, and we've got questions, Representative Stapp.
I just wanted to say a comment, Mr. Co-Chair. Obviously, I'm co-sponsor on this amendment. This more suitably known as the kind of the financial institution or the banker's request. Basically, what this amendment from Co-Chair Shragi does, as he said, it just puts the financial institution definitions per the multi-state tax compact into the statute and asks the department to adopt regulations that basically coincide with the multi-state tax compact. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much. Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I'm not against this amendment by any means, but I would like to understand a little bit more clearly why we've decided after hearing from the department that they could do it through regs, that we would instead do it through an amendment. Now, I'll also add that my understanding is this is not changing the revenue impact that much. We've already gone from 45 to 60 million down to 15 million-ish, and this is likely to impact it only by around 100,000 from what I've heard by estimates. So I'm, again, like I'm not against it, but I do want to make sure that we understand why it's going into statute.
Also, would like to recognize we do have with us Representative Alexi, who is at another bill hearing. So thanks for joining us, Representative Shragi.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Yes, they have said that they can do it through regulation, but they need guidance and instruction to be able to do so. And that is what this amendment does, is it directs the department to utilize the multi-state tax compact language to base their regulatory changes off of. So this, I think, complies with everything that we've heard and that you've stated. And as you mentioned, the impact to the revenue generated by this bill is very marginal.
Just for the record, that was Representative Moore, Representative Alexi Moore. So with that, any further questions on Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, I will remove my objection. Any further objections? Hearing none, Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 280 has been adopted. That takes us to Amendment Number 2, Representative Shragi.
And just a very brief at ease, if I may.
Brief at ease. House Finance back on record at 1:48 p.m. Representative Shragi.
Co-Chair Foster, I move Amendment Number 2.
Okay, I'll check for purposes of discussion. Representative Shragi.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Very similar to the previous amendment, this amendment is brought forth not as it relates to the banking industry, as was the previous amendment, but this one is related to the telecom industry. I think many of the same arguments that I made for Amendment Number 1 apply to Amendment Number 2. We have an industry that is currently in Alaska with substantial infrastructure and investments in the state and captured through our existing revenue models. However, the structure for which they are taxed relies on cost performance as part of the three-factor formula. This bill removes cost performance and would have acute impact on this industry. I don't believe that is the intent of this bill. And so this amendment, in a very similar way to Amendment Number 1, asks or instructs the Department of Revenue to use the multi-state tax compact language as the basis for regulatory changes that would allow them to take a nuanced approach to the telecom industry and make sure that there aren't unintended consequences of this bill impacting them. So I will, I think, leave the introduction there and maybe look to the committee for any further discussion that they'd like to have on this amendment.
Okay, any further questions, comments? Okay, Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Obviously, I'm a co-sponsor on the amendment, as the Representative Co-Chair Shragi had mentioned. Again, the objective of the amendment is to try to put these definitions in accordance with the multi-state tax compact. We had a lot of talking regarding telecommunications industry, and this amendment, I think, looks to do that in the least amount of wordy way possible compared to previous things we looked at.
Thank you, Representative Stapp. I don't see any further questions, so I'm going to remove my objection. And I don't see any further objections, so Amendment number 2 to House Bill 280 has been adopted. And that now takes us to Amendment number 3, Representative Hannon.
I move Amendment 3.
Okay, I'll object to Representative Hannon.
Amendment 3 is similar to the other two amendments in that we've heard about some complexity and interest in making sure that adopting new law, we aren't messing up currently existed taxed entities, and we want to affirm that the multi-state compact language is used. This would transition. So this amendment is dealing with broadcasters, which currently under our tax law use the audience method to, and this would move from audience method to customer location method. There are really three types of customers in the modern broadcasting industry. There's direct to consumer, where an individual customer has purchased a subscription. You've got program distributors and licensed customers, third-party distributors who've licensed creative content such as a TV show and movies from broadcasters, and then advertising customers, entities that purchase commercial advertising space on broadcast or cable methods. The audience method currently used forces broadcasters to be taxed on general estimates of the audience share they have. If we switch to a customer location method, that should be a more accurate measure of apportionment. 14 other states have already switched to this method. We believe it would also be easier for auditing by our tax division, so both for the taxpayer to be accurate in their performing to our law and our tax division being able to audit it. So with that, I would urge your adoption.
Do we have any questions or comments regarding Amendment number 3? Okay, I don't see any, so I'm going to remove my objection. Are there any further objections? We've got an objection. Representative Stout, would you like to speak to your objection?
You know, Mr. Co-Chair, I'm not. I don't think I'll be sad if this amendment passes. I just, I wasn't really, I guess, swayed by the broadcasters when we had them giving their opinion. I still don't really understand the issue with the location and how market-based sourcing doesn't solve that in and of itself, especially the definition of audience and advertising. So generally when I don't know things and I don't understand things, my default's just to kind of be no. So it's not going to make me sad if the amendment passes, though.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Allard?
No further discussion. I'll wait until the objection's lifted, though.
Okay, I don't think he's going to, Representative Stapp, you probably weren't going to lift your objection.
Okay, I'm fine then. Okay. You're not going to lift it. Okay, we're good.
Okay, so with that, Madam Clerk, we are on Amendment number 3, and if you could please call the roll.
Representative Jimmy?
Pass.
Representative Allard?
No.
Representative Stapp?
No.
Representative Galvin?
Yes.
Representative Moore?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski?
No.
Representative Bynum?
No.
Representative Jimmy?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
Representative Shragi?
No.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
6 yay, 5 nay.
So on a vote of 6 yay to 5 nay, Amendment number 3 has been adopted. Are there any further amendments? Okay, seeing none, If there is no further discussion, I would entertain a motion if it is the desire of the committee to potentially move the bill. Representative Shragi.
Co-Chair Foster, I move House Bill 280, Work Order 34-LS1349/I, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay. Yeah. Any objections? We have an objection. Representative Ballard, would you like to speak to your objection?
No, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Seeing none. So this vote is on the overall bill as amended. And it is for version I for House Bill 280. Madam Clerk, if you could please call the roll.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Allard.
No.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Jimmy.
Yes.
Representative Bynum.
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Moore?
No.
Representative Shragi?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
7 yay, 4 nay.
So on a vote of 7 yay to 4 nay, House Bill 280, which is 34-LS1349/A, moves out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. So if folks could be sure to sign the yellow paper, and thank you for getting through that. And so we're going to jump right into the next item on the agenda today, and that is House Bill 21. That's the voter pre-registration for minors bill. We heard this bill three times. We've taken invited and public testimony. We have reviewed the fiscal notes. No amendments were submitted for the bill, and so I'd like to invite up Representative Story, if you could come up and just give us a very brief reminder as to what this bill does, and then we'll go from there. So, Representative Story, thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Foster, and thank you, members of the Finance Committee. Good to be here today. For the record, I am Representative Andy Story, representing District 3, which is North Juneau, Haines, Cleckwan, Skagway, and Gustavus. I believe we have a responsibility to protect democracy by taking active, intentional steps to prepare the next generation to participate by voting. House Bill 221 before you will allow 16 and 7-year-olds to pre-register to vote like 20 other states. To ensure pre-registration results and successful registration, the bill requires the Department of Elections to send a prepaid confirmation card to the pre-registered applicants 3 months before their 18th birthday. Once the address is confirmed, they will be automatically registered to vote when they turn 18. This bill also includes important privacy protections for minors by keeping their address and phone number confidential until they turn 18. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Representative Valor, did you have a...
Co-Chair, is it your intent to pass this bill out today?
Only if it's the desire of the committee. But if there are questions that require research that we don't have available today, then certainly willing to hold it over.
No, I was just going to... No, I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any further questions or comments on the bill? Okay, seeing none, I would entertain a motion. Representative Shragi.
Co-Chair Foster, I move House Bill 21, Work Order 34-LS0241/N, out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Checked.
We have objections. Would you like to speak to your objection, Representative Stapp?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Appreciate the sponsor for the bill. I just think, as we talked about in committee, even the data used in the bill to justify the positive pre-registration, it doesn't really exist and it costs money. So I feel like just the bill's kind of unnecessary, but appreciate the sponsor for bringing it before the committee. Thanks.
Okay. Representative Ballard.
Thank you. And I, too, object to the bill. One, it's a fiscal note. That's a problem during the times we're running into. And also, these are minors. These are 16 and 17-year-olds. We've seen security breaches all over the state when it comes to elections. I don't have trust in the system just yet. So for those two reasons, I'll be voting a no.
Okay, thank you. Do we have further Representative Hannon?
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I want to speak in support of the bill and say minors can already register to vote 90 days before they become legal adults. We've heard lots of rhetoric, and we'll see some legislation about civic engagement and the importance of participating in our representative democracy. And learning the importance, learning about issues takes time, and developing the skills to do it. And a kid who is motivated at 16 has one election cycle to get up on step and be prepared to vote as an 18-year-old. And I think pre-registration is a great inspiration to get more young people to vote at a younger age. So it's not just the old folks voting, because it can become a lifelong skill. And if you start at 18, you are more likely to be a lifelong voter. So I think pre-registration is an admirable goal, and we should all support it.
Any further discussion? Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, through the chair to Representative Story. I appreciate you bringing the bill forward. Unfortunately, at this time, I'm not going to be able to support the bill as it moves forward. And as far as trying to get our kids engaged, I can think of 1.4 billion reasons that we are already doing that. And, you know, I encourage our education system to continue to teach our kids about our system of government and engage them about the responsibilities of voting. But today I'll be a no. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Chairman Foster, I'm going to be a hearty yes for two reasons that jump to mind. One is the testimony of two young women, teenagers, who testified not on this bill, but on the operating budget. And they, I don't know if they're the exception proving the rule, but they proved to me and reminded me that there's lots of wisdom in 16, 17-year-olds. The other thing that this could have as a practical effect is students anticipating being 18 and therefore reading the news, engaging, discussing, volunteering, all those things. So for those reasons, I'm going to vote yes.
Senator Galvin.
Thank you. I'm not going to echo the same comments that we've heard in support of this bill. I'm going to add a little something different, and that is that research out of University of Chicago and Mississippi State University both suggest that pre-registration does have an impact on turnout. And I think the more voters that we have turning out, the better our democracy is. So I'm in support of this, and I appreciate you putting the idea forward.
Okay, I don't see any further discussion. So with that, Representative Stapp, you maintain your objection. The objection is maintained. And so with that, we are voting on House Bill 21. That's version N. And Madam Clerk, if you could please call the roll.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Bynum.
Yes. No. No.
Representative Moore.
No.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Jimmy.
Yes.
Representative Allard.
No.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Schrage.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
6 yay, 5 nay.
Okay, so on a vote of 6 yay to 5 nay, House Bill 21 passes out of House Finance, and that is version 34-LS0241/N. And it's not amended, and it's with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. And if folks could be sure to stick around to sign the committee report. If there is nothing else to come before the committee, Representative Story, any parting words?
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the committee's questions along the process of the bill, and I hope we can continue to dialogue about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow morning, and that is Thursday, March 26th at 9 a.m. And at that meeting, we'll take up Senate Bill 146. That is the REAA Fund, Mount Edgecombe School and Teacher Housing Bill. And so if there's nothing else to come for the committee, we will be adjourned at 2:04 p.m. Thank you.